Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you here to Cornerstone. Stand up with us as we worship this morning. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Worship. And let's just, anything that we're carrying in here today, anything that's heavy, anything that we're dealing with, let's just shed that and come before the throne of God and say, God, here I am, take all of me.
Just as you are before your God. just as you are before your God. Come, just as you are, come.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning that we can come to worship you, dear Jesus. We love you, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Lord. And we just pray for this morning that we'll just open up our lives to you. Amen, pray. Amen. You may be seated, but as you're sitting down, shake the hands of the person next to you, or if you want to, walk across the room and shake someone's hand.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. If you're joining us this week for the first time, if you would, you could take out one of those little communication cards in the seat in front of you, fill that out for us. We would really appreciate it. And you can just drop that with one of our greeters or drop it in one of the offering boxes on your way out. We would thank you for that. Glad you're with us this morning. I was actually surprised this morning. Our first service, as cold as it was bigger than this service. It was awesome. So we had a great first service, lots of energy and lots of good things happening here at Cornerstone. So we're excited that you've joined us here today. We've got several announcements I kind of wanted to mention. If you look at your worship guide, a few things here to take a look at. Youth are meeting tonight, 6:30 to 8:00, and youth tonight, they're doing some mission work, getting some stuff ready for one of our Nicaragua trips. We also have a Winter Jam trip, which is a big concert that we're taking the youth to. We've got the bus reserved and the 20 spots remaining, and they're going pretty quick, so you can talk to me or talk to Jennifer about that, and we'll fill you in on the details. We've got the health information back in the cafe, and we'll hear a little bit more about that next week. And then finally, we've got our we're going to meet here for the big game, the Super Bowl next week. We can watch it on the big screens. Just so you guys, you know, these projectors are 720p, so it is HD on the big screen. We have a good time. We watch it. We eat a lot of food. So we have all the health information, and then we have the information on this sheet about what you can bring in deep fry. Because we have the deep fryer set up. And we've got these at each door set, so you can kind of find out a little bit of what you can bring food-wise. We just bring snacks. We also do ask that you bring some canned food, some other things that they could use. We're going to be taking that over to the soup kitchen downtown, the God Storehouse. So their information on what they need is on this sheet. There's one at each door. I've got one. We'll have it on the resource table as well. But we just ask that you, we have a good time when we get together. So come join us. We'll watch the game. There'll be lots of people that don't watch the game that just watch the commercials. So you'll be fine. It's not all sports. That's next week. We also want to talk a little bit about our life groups. And I'm going to ask Todd Davis to come up. We've asked Todd here a few months ago to be our life group director. And life groups are so important at Cornerstone, and he's doing a great job of helping us organize them and provide some leadership and training to the group. And he's going to share a little bit about our life groups, and I think we've also got a video for our Sunday morning life group we're going to show after that. So,
as he said, I'm the life group director. A couple of months ago, he came to me and asked me to head this up, and I was really excited to do it because life groups are very important to me. Some of you may not know. Some of you do. Peggy and I moved up here about 3 years ago. We started attending Cornerstone. We would come on Sundays. We had a few acquaintances, but we didn't really feel connected because we were we're foreigners. But we got involved in life groups. We've been in several. We've connected with a lot of people, and I really encourage it. As Mike has been preaching over the last few weeks, it's a great opportunity to get to know people, make invaluable friendships. We've got several. 11 life groups that are going on, anything from finances to parenting, weight loss. There's plenty of opportunities. They meet just about every day, all times of the day. So I encourage you to get involved in life groups. They are an opportunity to get to know people, to fellowship, to stay in the Word, to get engaged and to get connected. We do have a short video about our Sunday morning life group. It's on the study of James. Thank you.
A voice from the back says no.
Life groups are a big part of what we do here at Cornerstone, and I know for my wife and I, we've been involved in a life group, and we've led a life group, and it's just awesome to connect with people, and people that, you know, you share lives, and you know, you go into this thinking, man, I ain't going to share anything. I don't know these people. I don't want them knowing anything about me. But, man, stuff happens, and God takes over, and you begin to share what's going on in your life, and then you have these people that come up to you and say, man, how are you doing when you need it the most? And I just wanted to say, life groups are part of one of the most important things we do here at Cornerstone. And I want to just encourage you to get involved. You know, and on that thought of just, you know, I'll talk about my life is, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm glad I serve a God that has such a great name and a powerful name, that his name is powerful than anything that I go through, any financial, any, just anything. And today, if you're struggling, I just want to let you know that Jesus is here, man. We just got to come forward and meet with him. And we're going to ask you to stand up and just join us in this song. The song's called No Other Name. And it's like, no other name is on earth is worthy.
Jesus.
Jesus, God's redeeming Son.
series is all about what it really means to be fully alive. And the last few weeks we've been talking about some of the struggles, I think, that people go through. The reasons why you kind of go through life sleepwalking, maybe spiritually, and you find yourself so easily just falling into the trap of just going through the motions, showing up in church, doing what you're supposed to do, but not really experiencing life the way that God intended. I started off the series talking about a movie from like a long time ago, the movie Awakening. It had Robin Williams, Robert De Niro, and some of you guys, it's like 20 years old. Some of you remember it. Some of you weren't born yet. That's all right. In that movie, it was about a doctor who was working with a group of patients who were in a coma. And he kept working with them, and he thought there was more going on than the eye could see. And he finally found an experimental drug. He gave it to them, and these patients literally came alive. They came awake, and they were talking, and it's just like their life had been on pause for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And they came alive. And what that doctor did, he looked into their life, and he saw a glimpse of something that was there that was untapped. He saw a glimpse of hope, a glimpse of life. And as I stand here this morning, as we kind of wrap up this series, I want you to know I see hope. I see life. I see more to going through life than what we are currently experiencing. But the question for us this morning, are we willing to embrace the life that God has offered to us? Or are we content just going through motions, doing what we think we should do? Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, he said, "The glory of God is a man fully alive. And a man fully alive is a man glorifying God." And when I think about that quote, and when I think about what our life, why we are here, I mean, this is a foundational question to our existence. Why are we here? It's to glorify God. It's because God has us here to be His hands and feet in this world that He's created. And he wants to use us. He wants to work in us, and he wants to work through us to do something incredible. I've been sharing this diagram the last few weeks, and I think it's helpful for us to look at as kind of going back to our mission at Cornerstone here about making disciples, and disciples who are experiencing this new life in Christ and who are equipped to follow Christ and who are engaging our community and world for Christ. And we've talked about these different areas, about our relationship with God and what that looks like through growth and worship, our relationship with others and what that looks like in community and through evangelism. And this morning, we're going to focus in on this last piece of the puzzle here, this piece of mission and of service. And what I want to talk about first here is how we engage our community and world. This is really, service is what God wants to do in you. And I think sometimes we think about service as what we can do for God, but it's really what God wants to do in us and inside of this church. Okay? I mean, we find our spiritual gifts. We find how God has created us. And what we do is we work together as the body of Christ. And we find an area that kind of matches our gifts and our passions, and we pour our life into it. 1 Corinthians 12, this is what it says. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And when we read that verse, here's what I want you to understand. Each one of us is created uniquely. Each one of us is created differently. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different skills. We have different hearts, and we have different passions. But the same God put them there. And what we realize is when we come together, we serve together for the common good. It's not about us. So service is not what we do for God, but what God wants to do in us. Now, the second piece of the puzzle we'll be talking about this morning is mission. And this is simply what God wants to do through you. And it's outside the walls of this church. And it's being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's whether it's down the street or across the world, this is about making a difference for the kingdom of God outside the walls here at Cornerstone. And so those are the two things we're going to be talking about. Romans 15 says this. It says, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus, in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. And here's what I want you to realize here. When we talk about service, we talk about mission, and we talk about how that brings us to life. It's not about us getting the credit and the glory and the recognition. It's about us pointing people back to Jesus. It's about us really catching hold of this life that He has given us. Ephesians 3:7 says, by God's grace and mighty power. It's only by His grace and it's only through His power that we have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. So service is a gift. It's something He has given us. It's something He wants to do in us. It's something He wants to do through us. And He wants us to be alive and realize the power of service. I've got a question for you this morning. And this is really, as I go through the whole message, this is what I want you to be thinking about. This is a question. And I know this is kind of something that you're going to have to do some thinking about. Don't just give me an answer. Do you have a heart of service? What's the condition of your heart this morning? Are you really serious about serving God? Or is your life more centered around serving yourself? I know that's a tough question. Because by nature, we want to be selfish. By nature, we think about ourselves and we put the needs of ourselves before others. But God has called us to something so much different. And if we want to break out of this spiritual sleepwalking that we're in, we've got to learn what it means to serve others. Our life expressed, and that's really what this morning I titled the message, Life Expressed, because when we express our life, it's God working through us, in us, and it's when we express God's love to the world around us. And I know that so many people, you have good intentions. You really want to serve. You really want to make a difference. But yet you find yourself, just because of the busyness of life, because of the stress and the demands of life, and you just let all those things rob you of the joy of serving. And I want you to know that there's more to life. There's more to life than just going through the motions. I don't want you to be content with just showing up for church and doing the religious thing 1 hour a week. That's not the way God created you. That's not what God intended. And so this morning, I just want to kind of help. We'll start off, I'll give you a very practical definition here. I like easy things to understand. I want to give you a practical definition of serving. Because this is, if you want to understand what serving really is here, this is an easy way to understand what it means. Okay? And it's simply this. It's investing ourselves in others by investing our time and resources. It's not real deep. Pretty easy to understand. Serving is just simply sacrificing. It's investing. It's putting somebody else. It's caring for them. It's investing our time into them. It's investing our resources in them. It's caring enough about them to do something, to act, and not just go through the motion. And I hesitate to bring this up because we have been blessed here at Cornerstone. We have so many people serving in so many different ways. But still, in every single church, you look around and I see people who are unwilling to invest themselves in others. They don't want to invest their time to serve. They don't want to invest their resources, their money, their skills, their gifts, their talents, their abilities. And they just go through life and they miss what God has intended. They miss the blessing of service. And so if you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn over to John 13, a familiar passage. I know I've probably preached on it before, but I want to go back to it because it's so powerful. It's such an example to us on what it means to serve. So John chapter 13 is where we're going to be at this morning. And in this scripture passage, This is a passage that I love because every time I read it, it tells me something different about my heart. And if you find it, John, if you remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's fourth book of the New Testament, you get John 13. It's a story of Jesus and his disciples. And I love this moment in his life because he knows his time is coming to end here on earth. Jesus realizes that he only has a short time left. He gathers together the disciples, the ones that he's been doing life with, the people that he truly cares about here. And this is a significant time. He knows everything's about to change. And that's where I want to pick it up in verse 1. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Some versions say he showed them the full extent of his love. He wanted them to know how much he truly cared about them. And he says the evening meal was in progress in verse 2. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now that you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And I think this is the moment it kind of hit Peter what was happening here. He said, "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. But in verse 12 it says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes. He returned to his place." "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And so right from that point, Jesus is showing us, he's separating the difference between knowing something and doing something. There's a difference between knowledge and application. And so many times I think we find ourselves in church, we gain knowledge, we know stuff, but we don't want to apply it in our life. And he's saying right here, you're going to be blessed, not if you know it, but if you do something about it. And at every level of Cornerstone here, I mean from Sunday morning to our life groups, to our children's and youth ministry, to every single team within the church, what I want more than anything is to raise up a congregation of people who have a heart of service, who know what it means to serve God and to serve others. In John chapter 13 right here, this is what it's all about. It's a constant reminder to us of the importance of serving. And so this morning, what I want to do is from this passage, I want to share with you five traits of a servant's heart. Five things that I want us to, when I ask this question, do you have a servant's heart? These are five characteristics, five traits, five things that I want you to look at your life and ask yourself the question, do I have this characteristic? Do I have this trait? Is Jesus doing this in me? Okay? So if you're tracking along in your bulletin, there's a place to take notes. The first thing is simply this. A servant's heart, one, they have a willingness to get involved. They have a willingness to get involved. And here's the thing I want you to notice about this story, and kind of give you a little bit of the backstory here of Jesus and the disciples. The disciples had not been getting along that well. And the first thing that we see What happened here, there'd been some jealousy. There had been some competition. There had been, I'm better than you. I'm first. And I'm the one that, Jesus likes me more than he likes you. And see, you think some of these childish things only happen in our churches today. This was happening in the disciples' lives as well. There was this competition and this bickering. And so what happened here is, as they walked into the room, put yourself back in first century times, they wore sandals, they walked everywhere. They were coming in to eat, and as they ate, the way they ate was a little bit different. Their tables were really low. They kind of reclined down on one arm, and their feet were laid out. So your feet were right in the face of somebody else. Okay, that puts it into perspective a little bit here. And when you walked in a room, they had a big basin of water and a towel there. And it was typically the lowest ranking servant's job to wash the feet of all the guests. And I just want you to picture, as the disciples walked in one by one, they looked at this bowl right beside the door. And what do you think was going through their mind? They'd been arguing. There'd been all this competition. I can almost guarantee you this was the thought that was in their mind. I'm not going to wash his feet. I'm not going to do that. You know what he said to me? I'm not going to do that. And each one, all 12 disciples, walked by and reclined at the table. And what we see Jesus do in the midst of all that, have you ever walked in a room that where there was just tension and you didn't know what was going on and you could just feel it? And you're like, ooh. And it's awkward, right? You walk in a room and everybody just looks at you like, what are you looking at? That's kind of the room Jesus walked into. He walked into this room. There's this tension there. What did he do? He got up from the table. He started walking over to this basin. And I can imagine all the disciples just going, what's he doing? What? No, really, he's not. And they started realizing here something. And then that's when Simon Peter, no, you're not going to wash him up. No, you're not going to do that. But what Jesus showed here, he showed a willingness to get involved. He didn't stay back. He got up. And what I'm learning is that there's a time to sit at the table and there's a time to get up. And if you want to be fully alive, you've got to learn to get up and do something. There's a time to get involved. There's a time where we could just sit back and say it's somebody else's responsibility. But that's not the life Jesus has called us to. He's called us to get up from the table. And that speaks of a heart to serve and somebody that's willing to get involved. And that's what Jesus did here. He stood up and he said, guys, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm willing to serve. So it's a heart of a servant. It starts with a willingness to get involved. He wasn't scared of what was about to happen. He knew that something needed to be done. The second trait or characteristic here, it's a willing to serve in secret. And what Jesus says here, he didn't do this for his own glory. He didn't do this to draw attention to himself. He did this to show them it doesn't matter how much accolades, how much attention, how much praise you get for doing something. It's about serving. Verse 15 that I read a minute ago, it says, I set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. No servant is greater than his master. He's teaching him the power of serving in secret. There's a pastor down in Louisiana at a church called Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge. And the guy's name is Dino Rizzo. And he's written a great book called Servolution. And it's all about, and their church is just so involved in the community and making a difference and serving. And he tells the story of how he got involved in ministry. And I wanted to share it with you this morning because when he was 18 years old, he got saved and he got involved and started going to this little storefront church. He loved it. It was a little church and the preacher was kind of an old school, hard type preacher. And after about 6 months of preacher, he preached a message on getting involved and serving and God has a purpose for your life. So this Dino, he was a young guy. He went to his pastor and said, I want to serve. I think God's doing something in my life. And the pastor said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I want to preach. Here's this young 18-year-old guy. Been in church 6 months. And he said, okay, I want to preach. I'm ready. You preach for like 2 hours. I can do it in 45 minutes. I'm ready. And the preacher said, okay. He said, "Well, son, if you want to be used in the church and you want to be used by God, then meet me at Saturday morning at 5 o'clock. And he said, "We're going to have prayer together." And so, you imagine 18-year-old, 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. But he did it. And he shows up, and the pastor takes him into this room, and he opens the door, and there's like a room full of old ladies. Is that politically correct? Ladies well advanced in years. I mean, he walked in the room, and the pastor said, "Dino's going to be praying with you for the next 6 months." And he looked at Dino, and he said, "If you don't stay committed to this prayer meeting, don't come back to the church, because God's not going to use you." And the pastor just shut the door and walked out. Now, what Dino said, he said, this was crazy. He said, "These people were so old, they couldn't even sin." I mean, he said, "But they could pray." And so for 6 months, you know, he met with this group almost every day in prayer. And he prayed with them. And the pastor came up to him 6 months later and said, "Okay, do you still want to be used by God?" And he said, like, "Oh, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I think I'm ready now to preach." He said, "Okay, meet me Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And he said, "Okay." And he shows up and he walks in the church, and the pastor hands him a vacuum cleaner. And said, "Okay, now, for the next 9 months, I want you to vacuum the church every Saturday." And he said he went in and even explained how he liked the lines going down the carpets, because he said he could feel the Holy Spirit more when the lines were lined up. And again, he said, "Don't come back if you, if you miss a Saturday. Don't come back, because God is not going to use you." And so he was fired up. He said, "Okay, I'll do it." And what the pastor knew that he didn't know is that he needed to learn the importance of serving in secret. And needed to learn the importance of prayer. And he needed to learn that it wasn't about the recognition that he got from it. So at the end of the 9 months, he came back to him, "Are you ready now?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah." And he's like, "Okay, you're going to preach this Sunday. So meet me at 11 o'clock Sunday." And so he went out and bought a new suit, got like 30 pages of notes. He was ready to go. They get to church. He walks in. They walk right by the pulpit through the back rooms. And he's like, "Well, aren't we supposed to preach out there?" And he said, "No, you're going to be preaching in here." And he opens the door, and it's a room full of 9 and 10-year-olds. And said, "For the next 52 weeks, I want you to preach to this room." And I mean, and just thinking, and to make the long story short, he stuck with it. He learned, and here's the quote I wanted to read to you. He said, "Here's what my pastor knew that I didn't know. That if I didn't learn how to serve in the insignificant, in the small, in the areas and moments that nobody else wanted to, then how would I ever serve in anything else? My pastor knew something that I didn't know. What he knew was about the heart of serving. He knew that ministry and that the cause of Christ goes forward through the heart of serving. He knew that if I didn't understand the heart of serving, I wouldn't live a blessed life. How could I ever be a decent husband if I didn't understand the power of serving? How could I ever be a good husband, a good father? How could I be an example to my son or be there for my daughter? How could I ever operate in leadership that is Jesus-style driven if I didn't understand the passion to serve? How could I ever build a church or be a volunteer or be part of a small group or help people get connected to the cause of Christ if I didn't understand that it was all about serving and serving others? I didn't know it, but he knew it." There's power there. What if, you look at all the problems in the American church today, what if that was the path to positions of leadership? Wouldn't you think that would fix a lot of the problems that we have? A path of service? Path of humility, of humbleness, of people willing to serve. And, I've experienced it firsthand in my life. And, you know, when we serve others, when we're faithful in the little things, God will just unexpectedly give you more and more and more opportunities to continue proclaiming His name and making a bigger difference in the kingdom of God. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in this church. That it's all about learning to serve in secret. The third characteristic I want to share this morning is that we've got to be able to see people through the grace and mercy of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus took the towel, he wrapped it around himself, and he stooped down and he got low. And what that speaks of, it speaks of humility. He humbled himself. He was washing the feet of the disciples, the very disciples that would later betray him, that would run away. And he knew that, and yet he was looking at them, and he was serving them, and he was looking at them through the eyes of grace and mercy. He saw beyond where they were at. And that's a great trait in a church, and it's a great trait in a servant, that you see people not just where they are at, not just in the middle of their problem, not just in their failure, but you see them through grace and mercy and forgiveness. You see what Christ wants to do through them. You see beyond where they are, and you see where God wants to take them. But a lot of times it takes us stooping down and getting in their situation so that we can learn and we can let them know that there's hope and grace and mercy. Jesus was willing to humble himself and go to the cross so that you and I can have an opportunity and you and I can have a new beginning. The fourth trait of a servant's heart is that you're willing to wade into the mess. Now, if you're here on Christmas, back just about a month ago, I preached a whole message on this. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today. But I preached a message about how Jesus came in a messy way because we live in a messy world. He came, and when we look at this story, he took the towel. I mean, this was not a job that was going to be pleasant. They're all reclining. These are big, burly men. They've been walking around in sandals all day. And Jesus got down. He was willing to wade right into the mess and do something about it. And as a Christian, let me just ask you, if you're a believer in Christ, are you willing to wade into the mess? Are you willing to get messy for the cause of Christ? Or do you like everything neat and packaged and presented to you on Sunday morning? If you have a servant's heart, if you want to learn what it means to be fully alive, then you've got to be willing to get messy. We've got to be willing to get involved and to stoop down and to walk together and meet people where they are and get to know them and love them and see them through grace and mercy and compassion and help teach them what it means to follow Christ. Remember Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. You remember that? We need to remember that as well. The fifth thing I want to talk about this morning is about how all this is put into practice into our life. And I've got a short little video here that I wanted to show you.
When you think of missions, what comes to mind? Is it giving to the poor? Is it painting houses? What if we told you that you were wrong? That these things weren't supposed to be done on the weekend in your free time, but it should be a normal, everyday event. A sandwich you give to a homeless man on your way to work. Comforting that colleague that is going through marital problems. Praying for broken families. Feeding the hungry. Quenching the thirsty. Crying with the sad. Loving the lost. Making them found. Reflecting a model that has been given to us. If this was normal life, then you wouldn't need to be asked. It would just be a part of you. Expect it of yourself. And live a life of mission.
The fifth point I want to make this morning is that if you want to truly have a servant's heart, you will see yourself as a missionary. You see yourself as a missionary. And this is where it goes beyond just what happens here within this church. It goes beyond what just happens when you get to do something that you enjoy or that you like. This is what happens when you leave this place and God works through you in every situation, every day. And the reason I have the word you see yourself as a missionary is because most Christians just see missions as something you do one week out of the year or maybe, you know, a special time or a special trip. You go and serve and then you come back and you kind of pat yourself on the back and you go back to your normal everyday life. When you start seeing yourself as a missionary, you see how God can use you in each and every situation, each and every day of the week. There's a whole mind change, a shift in how you look at life. You realize that it's about what God wants to do through you in everyday life. You know, there's some things I get up here and I kind of fuss at you guys at. I'm kind of good at that. This is one of those things I have to say. I love Cornerstone. I love seeing what God is doing through the lives of people here in this community. And I've mentioned it before, but almost every significant ministry in town, all these ministries, the parachurch organizations, I see people from Cornerstone serving and making a difference and being a part of it. And they're not doing it for their own recognition. They're just doing it because they've understood the power of serving. I put a question out on Facebook yesterday, and I said, I started making a listing of all the places around the world where people from Cornerstone have served on mission. And I thought, well, you know, I wonder how many people, you know, how many places. And I just started listing out, and I got to brag and boast in the Lord here, okay? When I started listing them out, it was just country after country after country. Show the map here. 35 different countries. And I got here this morning, and I thought, man, I'd left one out, and I remembered another one in South Africa that was the work that Julia was doing. And there's probably more that you guys could share with me here. There's more. These are different places that people from Cornerstone have been on mission trips, served around the world. Don't tell me that a small little church in the mountains of Virginia can't make a difference. Amen? Look at that. And you can go on our website, on our missions page, and I put the same map, and you can kind of see and see the different people have been to the different places. And I mean, this is incredible. But what really excites me is I see our young people doing a lot of this. I see our college students. I'll brag on our college students in a minute. When our college students leave here, they want to serve. They want to find out how they can go places on mission and serve and do. And that excites me. That they don't leave here. You know, you see all the statistics about kids graduating high school and leaving the church. We're not seeing that at Cornerstone. We're seeing youth that are really just walking right into the mission that God has given them. And that excites me. Over 35 countries. And we've taken, we need to add this up sometime, Gary. I don't know how many people we've taken to Nicaragua. I would guess 100. Probably more than 100 people from this church have gone to Nicaragua. We've got a partnership with a ministry there that we've done a lot of work with. The church has taken a trip to Costa Rica. We've gone numerous times to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. We took a trip to New Jersey for Hurricane Sandy. I mean, you just see all this work that's being done. But again, if we just go on a trip for 1 week a year, we're missing the point of what missions and service is all about. It's about learning the heart of a servant. It's about taking what you learn on a trip and putting it into practice each and every day of the week, just like that video showed. This excites me when we look and see what God is doing around the world. And if there's one thing that the American church has missed, I think it's this global perspective on how important it is to take the good news around the world. Because when you look at the Bible, you see that very clearly, that God has a heart for all nations. Let me just share a few scriptures with you this morning. Malachi 1:11. It says, "My name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, said the Lord Almighty." And this is God's heart, that the nations would praise Him. The Great Commission, that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 13:10 says, "The gospel must first be preached to all nations." Luke 24:47, it says, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" You know, when we start understanding what it means to serve here in Cornerstone, we can't help but take it out on mission to our workplace, to our schools, and to around the world. And it gets me excited thinking about what God has called us to do. And this shows me that Cornerstone gets a little bit of this. We understand the importance of serving. And it encourages me. But I also know that there's a large number of people here who have never really stepped out of their comfort zone. They've never done anything dangerous. They're just going through life sleepwalking. There's more. There's more to life than that. The final thing I want to share this morning, just simply serving leads to the path of blessing in your life. It leads to a path of blessing. And I don't want you to miss out on the blessing that God has for your life. I don't want you to go through life miserable and discouraged and frustrated and sleepwalking through life, because I know that God wants to do something in you, and I know God wants to do something through you. He has put you here for a reason. And I've heard it said many times, I mean, if you're still breathing, then God's not done with you. God's not done with you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 6 years old or if you're 100 years old. God is not done with you. And we just need to realize that it's a blessing to be able to serve Him. Now, this whole series, I just kind of want to wrap things up a little bit. And we'll put this diagram back up here. And these are the kind of six things that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. These six things that kind of describe the life that God wants you to live. These six things that describe what a disciple is. It's somebody that's spiritually growing. It's somebody that's worshiping. That's our relationship with God. It's somebody that's living in this authentic biblical community, but somebody that's also sharing life with others. It's somebody that's serving and using their talents and their passion and their gifts and their heart. But it's also somebody that's living a life of mission. And these six things describe what a disciple really is. These three areas of our life: our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our relationship with the world. And I mentioned that the first week is what's really neat about this diagram, and you'll be seeing more of it. It may be tweaked a little bit and modified, but the inner circle, that's what God wants to do in you. That's really what God wants to do in you, in each one of those areas of relationship in your life. But the outer circle, that's what God wants to do through you. That's what God wants to do through you. He's not done with you. And I want to see you fully alive. I want to see you experiencing God in a way that you've never experienced Him before. I want to see you being used by God in a way you've never been used before. And I know that if we get serious as a church about living a life of discipleship, which is really what all this is about, learning what it means to follow Jesus, learning what it means to live like Jesus and to love like Jesus, we'll be awakened to something far greater than we ever imagined. A life in Christ, a life for Christ, a life of Christ. Now, in closing, here's what I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you just a simple question. As you look at this diagram, which one of those areas needs improving? Which one of those six areas do you look at in your life and you just say, "God, I need some help, God. I know you want to work in me, and I know you want to work through me, but in this area, I'm just not living the life that you've called me to live." I want you to think about it. And I want you to commit this week just to getting away alone with God, spending time with Him and praying about it, and then not just knowing that there's a problem, but then doing something about it. And we're as a church, we're here to equip you. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to push you in the deep end of the pool and watch you flounder a little bit. Because we know that God wants you to be awakened to something far greater than you're currently living. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you showed us the example of how to serve. Lord, we want to have a heart to serve. We want to have a heart that seeks you, that seeks you with everything that is within us. Lord, I ask that right now that you would help us to be your hands and your heart and your words and your feet, that we would notice what needs to be noticed, that we would hear what other people don't hear, that we would see what others don't see. Lord, that we would just be aware of our circumstances and aware of the need in our own community, in our own family. God, we recognize this morning that the path to the blessed life, it's through serving. Lord, you humbled yourself. You stooped down. You took on a towel. You got involved. And that's what we want to do as a people, Lord. I pray for each person here that you would enlarge their heart. That you would help them to know that it's not about us, but it's all about you. Give us a heart to serve you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each person here that this series has been a time of awakening in their life. That it has awakened them to maybe look at their world in a new way. Lord, I pray that as you work in us, that we will not just be content, that we would continue to allow you to work through us. That we would be able to change this community, change this nation, change this world for the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you this morning for Cornerstone. For the many people who have surrendered their life to you, who are serving, who are loving, who are living a life of mission. Lord, my prayer is that others would catch that same vision. Catch that same passion. But my prayer also starts with right here where we are right now, knowing that some people that are probably even here today do not have a relationship with you. If we want to be awakened to this way of life that you have given us, God, then it starts with us surrendering our life to you. It starts with us entering into a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the God who created us. And right now, I know you are inviting us into that relationship. When we acknowledge our sin, when we come before you, God, and we confess our sin, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Through Jesus' death on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin so that we could have a right relationship with the Father. Your Word tells us that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what Jesus did. He exchanged his life for ours. He took upon our pain, our shame, our guilt, and our condemnation so that we could have a full, abundant life forevermore. If you're here this morning, it's every head's bowed, and you just say, God, I want that type of life. I've never surrendered my life to you, but this morning I want to take that first step. Would you just raise your hand this morning, wherever you're at? Just say, God, I want to just surrender my life to you. Thank you. Would you just pray with me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, I'm tired of going through the motions. This morning, I'm surrendering my life completely to you. Lord, by your power, will you help me live this life? Lord, I acknowledge my own sin. I acknowledge my own need for you. This morning, will you help me reorient my life to follow you? I thank you for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that he came and died just for me, to set me free, to give me a new life, that he conquered death and he rose from the grave so that I could live for all of eternity with God. This morning, Lord, I want to give you my life. I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of sleepwalking. I want to surrender to you. That's my prayer this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. And as we close out in worship today, I'll just, as each and every week, I'm going to be over to the side. If you want to pray, if you've got prayer requests, if you have any needs, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to let us know. But we're going to close at the time of worship because we have a lot to celebrate. So will you guys stand up with me this morning? Let's sing.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, and streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Have a good week. We'll see you on next Sunday.